Those Who Dream. We're using a worship series that was developed by a group called Sanctified Art. They're a group of pastors and artists who are committed to bringing scripture to life through color and movement and poetry and song and image. They created the Advent devotional that is in your Advent gift bags, as well as the at-home worship liturgy, also in your gift bags, that we are going to make use of for the Sunday after Christmas. You'll also see their prayer poems and other creative resources posted on the church's Facebook page over the coming month. Now, the theme of Those Who Dream was inspired by one of the Psalms that is actually part of the lectionary readings for the third Sunday of Advent. Psalm 126 begins with these words: "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream." Throughout the coming weeks, we are going to explore the question, what does it look like to live as those who dream? The prophets, the psalmists, John the Baptist, Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, Simeon, Anna, the shepherds, and the Magi, they were all dreamers. They received and discovered and responded to God's dreams for the world. In Advent, we get to step into the mystery and awe of God's dreams and pray that they shape our reality too. Now, often we equate dreams with sleeping, but today we're turning to Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37, where we hear Jesus' urgent call to keep awake. Three times in this passage alone, Jesus tells the disciples to keep awake so they don't miss the Son of Man coming in clouds. Now, the disciples want to know the exact day, the exact hour of Jesus' return, but he helps them understand that faith isn't about showing up at one right moment. Faith is about how we choose to live each and every moment of our lives. We need to keep awake so we don't miss the ways in which God is at work all around us right now, each and every day. So let's listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds and with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, in this season of Advent, we are so used to being together and being surrounded by the familiar traditions of our life together as church. And because we can't be together in those ways this year, we decided to take on this Advent gift bag project, which I have to admit, when I first dreamed of it, I wasn't sure exactly how it was going to come together. But of course it did, because we are Old South and we make things happen. But some of the ways in which this Advent gift bag project happened, some of them were so very 2020, because things didn't all go exactly according to plan. For example, there were the votive candles and candle holders that were delivered to my neighbor's house. Now, that's 5 candle holders and 5 votive candles for 350 bags. That's 1,750 candle holders and 1,750 candles that were delivered in 15 giant boxes to my neighbor's house across the street. He very graciously piled them into his kid's wagon and wheeled them across the street, 2 or 3 at a time, and put them on my front stoop. God bless him. And then there were the Christmas Eve candles, those little bundles of candles that were in your Advent gift bags that were ordered way ahead of time but didn't arrive exactly on time. And when I called to find out why they were delayed, I discovered that somehow the box that was supposed to be sitting on my front stoop was still sitting in the warehouse. And so, 2 days before the team of Advent angels were coming to wrap those little bundles of Christmas Eve candles, I went on Amazon and furiously searched for those little Christmas Eve candles and placed an order that was set to arrive at literally the exact same time that the Advent angels were supposed to be here at the church wrapping candles. So, we had my Amazon app open on my phone, and you can see where the delivery truck is. And so I would yell out, "It's 8 stops away, it's 3 stops away." And when it was close enough, I got in my car and I drove home and opened my trunk so that the Amazon guy could put the box right in my trunk and I could come back to church. So very 2020. But there was also so much about this project that was truly amazing and so beautiful and so very Old South. Because we came together and did an amazing thing. There were 47 different people who signed up to be Advent angels at some point this past week. Some people bundled Christmas Eve candles, some people put address stickers on those 350 bags, some people unwrapped the 1,750 candle holders and votive candles, and then rewrapped them in tissue paper and stuffed them in all the bags along with all of the other goodies that we put in there. Some people handed out gift bags to those of you who came by the church yesterday to pick yours up. And then we had a team of 23 people who delivered gift bags yesterday afternoon. This project would not have been possible without every single person who gave of their time this week. So I am so very grateful for those of you who dreamed along with me that this Advent gift bag project was possible. And then there were also these little miracles that happened along the way with this project. Something simple, like the company who services our copier offered to print all of our Advent devotionals for us for free. And they look so nice with those shiny covers. We wouldn't have been able to do it quite that nicely ourselves. And they just offered to do it for free and brought boxes of them to the church. What a gift. What a miracle. And then there's this little thing, like one gift bag that I had for someone in the church, but I didn't have their address. And I meant all along yesterday to put it with the gift bag that was going to that person's daughter, because I figured that of course her daughter would be able to get it to her. Her daughter would know where she lived, but things were a little hectic here yesterday, particularly as we were organizing the gift bags to go out for delivery. Those of you who are here can attest to that. So after most of the deliveries went out, I saw that one gift bag sitting on the table, and I realized I'd missed my chance. And I figured, oh well, I'll just call her sometime this week. I'll figure out how to get it to her. But we had one last delivery person who was coming in to pick up her bags, and she came in, and I was showing her the bags that she was supposed to take, and there was the bag for that person's daughter, right in that group, so I could add it to it, and that bag could get to that member of our church. Those little things, those little glimpses of God at work in the world, and getting to see those of you who came by the church yesterday, or those of you who were Advent angels this week. We haven't been able to be community like that in so long. I got to see so many faces of folks driving here to get their bags yesterday, faces I haven't seen in so long, and that truly felt like a miracle to me. Miracles are signs that point us to God, and as I looked into your eyes, it was like seeing the face of God looking back. What a gift to get to have even those little moments through a car window when we could see each other face to face. We need those glimpses of God, because there is so much in the world these days that can cause us to despair. We are surrounded by grief and pain, and that grief and pain is real and hard. We're surrounded by anxiety and fear and disappointment and exhaustion and division and cynicism. And as we enter into a holiday season that is going to be so different from what we're used to, it can be so easy to focus only on the things we can't do, or the people we can't see, or the places we can't go. And I don't want to minimize our feelings about all of the things that are really difficult for us and all of the things that are really broken in this world. But I'm also convinced that our faith calls us to hold on to hope even in the midst of so much despair. Our faith calls us to look for the miracles, the signs that point us to God, and they are all around us. Now the disciples, they knew something about despair. They knew something about difficult days and a broken world. That's why they said to Jesus, just tell us when it's going to be over. Please just tell us when you're going to come back and make everything okay again. That's essentially what the disciples were asking Jesus in the verses that come right before today's scripture reading. The passage we heard today comes toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He has already entered the city of Jerusalem on what we now call Palm Sunday. He's been engaged in a series of conflicts with the Jewish religious leaders, conflicts that have led to a tremendous amount of tension between Jesus and the religious establishment. And three times now, Jesus has told his disciples that he's going to be arrested and condemned and put to death. And then Jesus tells the disciples that they are going to be arrested and beaten and persecuted because of him. He tells them there will be trials and tribulations, false messiahs and false prophets, suffering and death, and the disciples just want to know when it's going to all end. They just want to know when Jesus will return and make everything okay again. And he says that he will come. The Son of Man will come with great power and glory. He will send out his angels and gather his people from every corner of the earth. But Jesus will not say exactly when this will happen, because Jesus wants the disciples to understand. He wants us to understand that faith is not about waiting for just one right moment. Faith is about how we choose to live each and every moment of our lives. What Jesus wanted the disciples to remember, what he wants us to remember, is that God is already at work in the world right now. Yes, Jesus will return one day. He will return and make everything new again. But until then, God is still with us. God is here right now. We just have to keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our very lives open. We just have to keep awake so that we don't miss the ways God is at work all around us, each and every day. Now, the season of Advent is an opportunity for us to recommit ourselves to the practices that help us keep awake. Practices like weekly worship and daily devotions, practices like praying for ourselves and serving others. We need practices that keep us grounded in our faith so that we can be awake and alert to the realities of the world, bringing light and love to those in need of healing and hope. We have to keep awake so that we don't miss the dreams God has in store for us and for the world. So how will you keep awake this week? What will you do to reawaken your faith, to keep alert to the ways in which God is at work in your life and in the world? How will you keep awake? Those of you who are worshiping at home, I invite you to share suggestions with each other, to make a commitment to the ways in which you are going to stay awake this week and through the whole season of Advent. And those of you who are here in the sanctuary, be thinking and praying upon that. How are you going to keep awake this season? Because friends, there is hope all around us. There are miracles all around us. There are glimpses of our God that are all around us because God is here right now in each and every moment of our lives. All we have to do is keep awake so that we don't miss